Pow! Bam!
I've got the power!
Snap!
Hello! You know,
our mic is not in the right place. Maybe we should try this a little differently. Here we go. There we go. Now everybody won't be so echoey. How are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I don't know, but I feel like I've got the power.
About right now, I'm probably laying on the deck of a ship in the sun and after a full night of singing karaoke.
Oh, my. So you're going to give it away of where we're at and what we're doing and why we're pre-recording?
Nope. Hi, my name is Michelle Moraz, and we are Denim and Pearls. We're Business Casual with...
Oh, I thought you were going to say the whole thing because you didn't, like, break it up.
Hi, my name is Michelle Moraz.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
We are Denim and Pearls. We're Business Casual.
With Pearls of Wisdom.
From the porch. And right now we are sitting out in the sun and enjoying ourselves because everybody's got the power to choose what they do in their life. And we have chosen to take a mini break and pre-record this because we are on the sailing seas enjoying some sun and doing some karaoke.
Swimming with the dolphins, swimming with the fishes.
I don't want to be swimming with the fishes.
Oh, you don't want to go on the snorkeling thing?
Swimming with the fishes means you're...
Well, no.
Isn't that mobster kind of talk?
That's mob talk.
No, it's... And it's not the fishes. You're swimming with stingrays.
Oh, I don't want to do this. Julie doesn't want to do the stingrays.
Neither do I, because that's slimy.
She's anyway. Like, I can go do that at the aquarium.
Oh. Well, anyways.
So I do want to go. There is a shipwreck thing.
Ooh, that'd
that
be
I
fun.
Want to go see. I want to go snorkeling.
Well, we probably already did it.
Could be.
And maybe when we come back, we'll do our live show and we'll tell you all about it. But we've got the power. As he starts coughing on us, we've got the power. So basically, empowerment, confidence.
What brought this up is the power of marketing, the power of advertising, the power of what's in a name.
Yes.
That's really what it comes down to.
Let me see what I actually wrote down here.
What's in a name? Wasn't that a commercial? What's in a name? It wasn't Bartles and James, though.
No, I don't know that one. It's the most interesting men
in the world. No, I can't even talk today. What made me think of the power, or us the power, whatever you want to say, is I opened up Twitter the other day, and John Rich, who most of you know probably from Big and Rich, you know, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, has moved into making, he has moved into making whiskey. And I'm thinking, you know, it would really be cool because a lot of us who are building our businesses, we try to get products into stores. We try to get any way that people can recognize our products. And we go through the ordeals, the person who says, well, that product sucks, or
well, we don't need it. We already have something like that.
Or prove it to me that yours is better than the next guy or whatever. But with John Rich, I'm just thinking having that kind of name recognition, he walks into the distributor or his, you know, representative walks into to the distributor and says, hey, John Rich got whiskey, need to distribute.
Okay.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, we've aged it, we've barreled it, we've packaged it.
You don't know my name at all.
You don't know who I am. And I'm making up this, you know, I just came up with this and it's the best natural whiskey you could ever drink, whatever. We have to prove ourselves. Whereas somebody with name recognition walks in the door and they just go, okay.
Yes. And then my response to this was from one of our friends. He says, back in the day, knowledge was power. Then it became who you knew was the power,
mm-hmm.
your network, basically.
Uh-huh.
But now the person who's known the most holds the power.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's not just we think about it. I'm talking about John Rich. Of course, he's a big name. He's got all of this. And, you know, you've got the the crazy Bud Light commercial with Mulvaney and all that, you know, big name recognition.
And then you've got Ryan Reynolds fighting with the fake fighting with Hugh Jackman. And it just goes viral and everything goes well.
Right. And it's usually because of name recognition, you know, and yeah, that person who has name recognition, don't get me wrong, had to start somewhere.
Yeah. They worked hard to get to where they are.
Exactly. I mean, they went through the trials, the tribulations, and yada, 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 to get to where they're at in order to have that name recognition, you know, and
they've proven themselves.
And I think that's one reason why, because we always look at famous people who made it big, people who make money because
they were overnight successes.
That were overnight successes because daddy was, you know, stuff like that. They have it. But they also have that name recognition in the background, well, in the foreground, that you're such and such's daughter, you're such and such's son. And it happens all the time. And they have instantaneous success. And it wasn't just the fact that they had money, because they got, oh, yeah, well, daddy's rich, you know.
It's just the name.
Money buys anything, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of time it's just the name, plain and simple.
Or in my case, as I told Brian, Hugh Jackman, I don't care what he's selling. I'm buying it.
unless, of course, they're advertising things with Hugh Jackman, call me.
I want to sing with you. I'm serious. I want to sing. But anyways, no, that's who has the power. And what we got into this whole conversation with is people give away their power. Mm. So like thinking of our world with Instagram and everyone's looking for followers and all this stuff, what we're doing is we give the power from within us. And we put it to the outside world to say, for me to get validation, to know that I'm strong and able, right. I need other people to tell me. And that's not how it really works. You have to believe it.
I don't know. You like praise a lot.
Who doesn't like praise?
You like praise.
Of course. I would hate it with someone. I mean, like the other night, I sang a song and I really thought I didn't do all that well. And someone came up to me and they said, oh my God, that was amazing. It was okay. I could do better. But I always think that. And he says, no, okay, you suck. No one liked it. Everyone hated you. And we just That's think you're horrible. Nice. And we just don't want you to ever step on that stage again. And he started laughing. And I started laughing. And I realized my insecurity, I was throwing on someone else's opinion. It is not my right to say you're wrong and I'm right. He said, you're good. And I went, no, I'm not.
You know, it's a really good thought. That's actually pretty deep now that you mention it.
Thank you.
It is because we all have our own insecurities and we all think or, you know, we judge ourselves or our spouse judges us. But then somebody else comes up and says, you're awesome. And you go, no, not really. And you just totally destroy everything they just said.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go with the flow and you take it.
Thank you.
Thanks. I've gotten better at that, actually, you know, because I used to be the negative nanny. Well, still
Nancy.
Can be.
Yeah. Negative well, Nancy, and we all have that. I mean, as positive as I am, and geez, I'm the queen of positivity, I still do. I could have done a little better. But I've been trying to catch myself. I conscientiously try to stop that coming out of my mouth, mm-hmm. but it's so ingrained into our being right. of no, you know, what is that? No, stop, come back. No, come back. You know, don't say that. I need more. No, we all like validation. That's really what it is. I mean, as babies, that's why babies smile at people and they do because you're smiling and the baby does. I like that.
Right.
And even at that age, we've trained ourselves, our entire human race, to respond to smiles and good job.
Well, at this point, we could almost take the title of the power and call it the power of thank you.
Ooh.
I mean, because saying thank you is actually very, very powerful. And we never realize it because we all feel that it's uncomfortable. You know, and I think one of the biggest uncomfortablenesses, is that a word?
Uncomfortable, it is now.
Uncomfortablenesses.
No, but it is now.
I think one of the most uncomfortable things is the military.
Right.
When you serve in the military and somebody finds out that you were a Air Force or an Army, whatever member, and they go, thank you for your service. What should your response be?
Thank you.
Is it thank you?
Thank you. My pleasure.
What is it? Oh,
my
you're welcome.
To
is
serve.
It you're welcome?
It's my pleasure to serve.
But it's a very uncomfortable thing for those who have served. Mm-hmm. Now, as many times as you've heard it, I mean, thousands of times I've heard it, you know, over the last few years or whatever. And it's still uncomfortable. It's still uneasy to go, "You're welcome. Thank you for serving. You're welcome." Is that what it is?
Yeah. And that's why I said the answer is more my pleasure. And that's why that Chick-fil-A thing that was so big, because people, when you go to a Chick-fil-A line, they give you your food and they do my pleasure.
No, the one that I don't, that it's nice to say, but it really drives me crazy is "we appreciate you" or "I appreciate you."
I do appreciate you.
"Thanks for my chicken sandwich. I appreciate you." What?
I appreciate you patronizing our services.
This is weird to me. I appreciate it. Just,
but the power of thank you. But
because that's a new thing.
It's more than just the power of thank you to other people. You need to learn how to thank yourself for being who you are, the good things in you, right?
No, so you're taking it deeper now.
Yes.
You have to be thankful for yourself. You have to have what do they call that? Confidence in yourself.
Yeah. The power.
Believe in yourself.
The power of thank you is even thanking yourself by believing in who you are and what you can bring to the world, no matter how small or how big. And we forget that the little things that we do are big. They say that, you know, people on their deathbed realize that the small things were the big things.
Well, it comes down to that one word that it just drives me crazy. And it's not a bad word. It's a really good word. But it's perception.
It's all perception.
Everybody looks at you differently than you look at yourself. They perceive you differently. You may, for instance, when we owned Galaxy Fest, mm-hmm. I had so many people come up to me and go, "You are awesome. You are rich. You are well off. You're well to do because you own Galaxy Fest." Well, they don't know the secret behind it, because we never made any money off of it, which is why we shut it down. One of the reasons. But it's amazing to hear other people's perspective on how they see you when they don't know what's basically they're on the outside looking in and have never seen what's on the inside.
The bill's on the other side.
Yeah. It's like it's a box with a fake wall in it. It's, you know, they don't see the bills on the other side.
So you have the power of perception of yourself and the things around you and how you move through the world. So that song, look it up. It's by Snap.
Snap.
Snap with an exclamation point.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I've got the power.
They actually had a couple other songs too.
Well,
Rhythm is a Dance.
Yes. But it was all about power of self. And honestly, everything that comes out of you, everything that you do, everything that you interact with, all comes down to you. Your belief in you, the confidence in you. I'm not saying confidence as in being cocky and I'm better than everybody.
No, arrogance.
The arrogance part. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying believing in what you know you're good at.
I agree.
Show's over. Thank you.
That's it.
Back to the beach. No. But really, that's really the issue with the power. Some people do, well, I don't have any power. I lack power. I'm small and there's nothing I can do and nobody likes me and no one cares and I'm all alone in the world. And what's really happening is they've told themselves that so much that they believe it, that when they go out to other people and they do, "Yeah, I'm never there. No one sees me, blah, blah, blah." What you're doing is actually you've convinced yourself so much that when you walk into the room, you're actually radiating that fact that you are small and that no one's going to see you. It's some unconscious subliminal blah, 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 fancy word thing.
Body language.
That we are putting it out. I've actually done tests on that with myself. I'll go into a room full on Michelle and I will meet everyone. When I do that, I come in and I look at everyone. I mean, I look eye to eye on people and I smile, I connect. And then, wow, everybody knows you. Oh my goodness, you're so radiant. Okay. And then I come into a room and I play small. I don't make eye contact. I look down. I walk in and I kind of go to the back corner and I hide. No one sees me. No one even knows I'm there. And I've actually caught myself at conferences doing, I don't even know why I'm here. I mean, I'm not speaking. I don't know what's going on. And no one even cares who I am and if I even am a speaker. Matter of fact, a lot of times they think I'm somebody's mom or I'm carrying somebody's bag or whatever it is. And so I realized.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I get a drink?
Exactly. Excuse me. Do you know where the coffee is? Or can you help me with this? I'm looking for this item. You know, something like that. It's how you're carrying yourself. That's why I do so much about body language and how you project yourself, because it will determine what goes out, people bring back to you.
I will give you this, because I know there's people out there that are like me. When I walk into a room, we've always talked about me being Mr. Cellophane.
Only when you're with me.
No.
When it happens,
it's part of my life. But see. It's just one of those things.
He's integrated it.
But I've also taken it where I've done basically the same social experiment that you're talking about. And I'll walk in with that air of confidence. But then you know what I get from it?
Cocky.
That you're cocky.
You're a jerk.
I'm like, wait a minute. I can either be subtle and be Mr. Cellophane where nobody sees me, or I can show confidence and it's too much and it's arrogance. I don't have an in-between that I'm aware of.
Well, then my suggestion for those of you who are having that issue.
And I'm talking about walking into a room.
Okay. So
I'm not talking about after building relationships.
So what I'm saying for that then is, if they think you're arrogant and they don't talk to you, fine. They'll eventually find out that you are not what they thought you were, mm-hmm. but you still got their attention. I'm smarty pants.
You just have to counteract me, that's all. Or contradict me, that's all.
Well, it's just there's got to be.
See, I have this world question of that cannot be answered, and you have
an answer. Because that's really it. People are going to remember, it all comes back to that word he doesn't like, perception. You can give them the perception of confidence and arrogance.
Right.
And then that already has their attention. And then you can build the rapport and have them realize, wait a minute, I was wrong, but that you got the attention. But if you fade into the background, they will never know you're in the room, and you never have a way to adjust their thermostat on who you are. So that's the best way to do it.
You've said it to me a lot. It's like, and I find it happens to me a lot of other times too with other people, but they usually find one particular thing. You know how talented I am within different categories, whether it's the computers or the cars or whatever. I've got
to figure out everything.
Finances, you know, it's all these other things, or I can figure it out kind of deal. You can know somebody for years, and then one day you say something like, you know, I can help you with your life insurance and your investments. And they look at you and they go, huh? How long have you been doing that? 30 years. How come I never knew you did that? You never ask. I mean, what's your response to that? There's a lot of things about me you don't know. You know, and I think a lot of that also has to do with your environment. And where you're at, because how many people do we know that we can see them on a daily basis every day in the same bar, and they're great friends, you know who they are, you know what their name is, and then when you walk away and you go to Walmart and they walk past you, you don't even recognize them.
Mm-hmm. That happens a lot
because they're out of their element.
Actually, that happened the other night. Someone came up to me and we were talking, and I said, well, I used to write speeches. And he went, what? Because he works in D.C. And I said, I used to write speeches in the political world. He went, I thought you were a singer. I'm like, I'm a karaoke singer. I'm a speaker, but a speaker would be able to write. I have books, too. And he was blown away that I wrote for other people. Mm-hmm. It baffled him that I could. Right. And I'm thinking, but I write books and I help people speak and form their stories on stage. Of course I can write. But because they put you in boxes, he had no idea that box was an expandable accordion box.
Well, that's because we put everybody, our
brains.
They compartmentalize.
Yes,
our brains compartmentalize anybody and everything that we see. Yeah. It always has to fit into a box, even though everybody says, I won't want to be in the box. I'm not normal. I'm not the same as everybody else. Get out of your comfort zone. Stay out of my box.
Some way we all have a box in some
way. Oh, we all do. We look at the world today and society today, and it's like everybody's complaining about prejudice this or stereotyping this or whatever, and like it's a new thing.
Yeah.
It's been with us for probably since the beginning of time. It was ingrained within us as human beings.
Wait. Can I tie into that about that being ingrained as human beings? We evolved as the humans we are by perception. So if you believe in cavemen, the cavemen walked around and they were mating. They didn't mate with the one that was small and weak looking. They mated with the stronger ones, so the stronger genes stayed. So we are a result of people making decisions on each other in order to have children.
Well, Daddy screwed that one up.
Well, anyways, but that's what we do. And when even genetically at a genetic level, when our genes combine, when we have children, the stronger genes stay, mm-hmm. the weaker ones fall out. So it's better to show up strong than weak.
So if we go back in time, then we're a product of perception.
Yes.
Wow, that's some deep stuff.
Man, I'm getting deep.
Wow, that's some really serious food for thought.
Because really, we are, or I heard someone speak about it, was we are all winners. In the sperm pool, when our mothers got pregnant, we were the winning sperm.
Exactly.
And 15 billion other ones lost.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to remember,
let's go for it.
Yeah. At a cellular level, we are all winners. And now in the big world, we're out running around. We've got to be the winner in our own way. I don't say you have to be the front runner. I just called everybody a sperm. But we didn't get edited by YouTube or get pulled down by Facebook. But the thing is we are all winners in our own way. So you find your winning spot and go that way. And if you want something bigger, realize that winning race that you're on, there are other branches that will get you another way to what you want that is uniquely you. Because there is no one on this planet like you. There is no one who's ever going to show up on the planet later when we're all gone that's like you.
Wait a minute. Stop. What? We have doppelgangers.
Check their fingerprints. I'm pretty sure they don't look the same. That's how unique we are.
I'm still back on the fact that you were running the race. your hands did this when you said the race.
Because I can see the video in my head.
Oh, my God. Black and white? Uh-huh. The black and white video, and there's like five of them that come out of the corner towards the end. Yeah.
And they're all kind of pushing in, and then there's one that actually makes it in.
And there's four that give up.
Yeah, so don't give up. Don't give up. Please don't give up.
Do you believe they used to show us those videos?
I know they couldn't do that in school now. But see, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, they can. They show more than that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Wait a minute.
No, ours was black and white and animated. Nowadays, it's like real time.
But see, that's where we have to gain. If you have to gain your confidence from something at a molecular level, then do it. Because confidence is key. And what you need to do to build it is you have to focus on yourself. Be a little selfish. What do you love? What sets you on fire? I mean, Brian and I have evolved just in the past 3 years that we've been together on Denim and Pearls, that we have each found our strengths by doing this and talking live to all of you. So maybe you want to just start talking to people and realize there are things that make you very passionate about things. I knew Brian, I thought he knew comic books. It wasn't comics he knew, it was the music. He knows music for every movie, every TV show.
I'm not that good.
Okay, well, he knows a lot of music. And what we realized is his passion for music is beyond just knowing the music. I think I might have mentioned this on one of our other podcasts. He can hear someone's voice and know what song would go well with their voice and that they can sing it. It doesn't even matter the genre.
Well, I also recognize people through their voices.
See?
A lot of us recognize somebody because, and I do too. But
he's an audiophile is what it's called.
Kind of, yeah, for the most part. But I can recognize that I've spoken with somebody sometime in the past based on their voice.
And see with me?
And if I can associate a name with it, even better.
I'm very visual. So I'm visual and kinetic. I will see a face and do, I know that face. I
recognize that wart.
I recognize the walk. That's
from a famous movie, by the way.
Oh, really? Because I know their walk, their gait. It's strange. And I'll do, I know the way you move. And people do, huh? I've done that to, I did that to someone in New York. I'm like, I know you. I know the way, I know your face and I know the way you walk. And the guy's like, really? This is a movie star. And I still haven't remembered where I've seen him, but he's a movie guy and he's been in a movie that I've seen. And I recognize him. I think he got kind of giddy that I recognized him.
Do you know who it was?
No, I can't remember.
You don't remember? And he didn't tell you?
He did. He told me his first name. And I can't remember.
He was not meant to be in your world then.
No, I just had to smile and lighten his world that he was recognized. So you never know what that power is that you have.
It was probably one of those B-movies.
It could be.
Because you watch so many B-movies.
I probably saw him on Supernatural.
Well,
because I love Supernatural and Asian aliens. I love those crazy shows.
Anyway, finish your statement if you remember what it was.
My statement is, I forgot. I don't remember what I was talking about anymore.
I don't either.
Well, anyway, so the whole thing is about power. Brian and I have found our own superpowers in the past 3 years that were bigger than our powers that we thought we had, than the gifts that we thought we had. They become more detailed. So I knew I could sing, but with Brian, he helped me realize I can sing.
Sang?
Yeah.
Sang.
I can sing.
You can sing.
So, you know, so other things are going to open up in our world. So what is your gift? What do you do? What do you love? Now combine what you love with what you do, and that's the power.
Okay, so I'm going to have a premonition here.
Okay.
I'm not having the premonition, but let's create one.
Yeah, let's manifest.
Because
this.
Manifest, there's the word. In fact, it's a really good word. We're getting ready to go on a cruise. That's why we're pre-recording. So what are our objectives and what will we find on the cruise?
My objective is that...
Because we got to be there for a reason. What is it?
My objective is that one, there's someone on that boat that needs to hear me sing to help me with my record. Two, I see Brian getting hired as one of the KJs on that cruise ship that will go out every other month. He'll like he'll be switching off with someone where he's the KJ for the ship. And he'll be gone
for
a week
at a time. How am I going to demonstrate those talents? That's not something that you...
Because Monique is my sister who's doing the KJ show on the ship. She's going to say, Brian, can you take the board? Because I've got to go to the restroom or I need to take a break or I'm tired or whatever. Something's going to happen. Or she's going to say, Brian, I need you because I can't be gone for my babies that long.
Okay. Monique Christmas. Yeah. Her three babies.
Her three babies. So that's...
Could you read my tarot cards or my palm, please?
Wash your hands. Okay. Oh. Got it. I predict Brian will wash his hands in the near future. So
I'm going to wash my hands of you.
Brian's playing with me because what I always say is you are always in the place where you're supposed to be for a reason. And we're going on a cruise ship, which I have never, ever done. And I never wanted to do. And then when that idea came up, I'm like, let's do it. Brian, let's go. Let's bring our spouses. Let's go. And he's like, really? I do. Yeah, it's my sister. We should have fun. And let's find out what's going to happen there. And by manifesting what we want, what we just said, we want that or better. I always want to say or better because our minds are so limited to the expansiveness of what can happen. For all we know, we might end up being the Virgin Cruise podcast and we go on the show.
Oh, that would be cool.
And we talk about and introduce, you know, interview people while they're passing us on. We don't know.
Oh, so we could be like better. On the itinerary was, you know, dining with Denim and Pearls.
Yeah. Or better. Because something
so
is
a sideshow.
Yes, something is bringing us to that ship and we'll have to find out what it is. It could be something as something crazy as we get to go back to the Dominican Republic and record out of there and do our show. We don't know. We might get a TV show out of it. You don't know. So, or better. Everything is always or better. So when you are dreaming big, dream big and add or better.
Confession.
Why?
You know, one of the things that we always said when we were even growing up, it was like, you need to have goals. Mm-hmm. You should always have goals or you should dream. Right. Mm-hmm. Same concept, right? I never had goals.
You know what my goal was?
Hmm.
I want to be happy.
Well, yeah, but that's so simple.
No.
In my eyes, that's simple.
No, but that
you know, from my perspective.
But life is simple. We make it complicated.
It is, but I graduated out of high school, went to college a little bit, and I got married in the military.
Yeah.
I had my kids. I didn't have a white picket fence, but close enough.
He was on the river, just letting it roll.
Those were the goals. And it, yeah. After that, once all that was met, now what?
Then you're happy. So here's my thing. My thing is, we expect so much from ourselves as youth, when we're in our youth. What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't even know how to add yet. And you're asking me what I want to be when I grow up. Well, now that you've graduated high school, now what do you want to be? I have no idea. I like five different subjects in school. What do you mean, what do I want to be? Well, we're going to give you this aptitude test.
I want to be a podcaster, live in mom and dad's basement.
Come into this testing room at 6 a.m. We're going to give you a four-hour test. It'll tell you what you're good at.
I do remember those.
It will tell you what your skill set is, but it doesn't tell you what you're good at. Because
it doesn't tell you what your gut says.
Yes. So what, you know what that test told me I should be? A museum curator.
Oh, cool.
Can you imagine me as a museum curator? I would drive people crazy. I talk too much.
Oh, you know, that's what you have other people for.
Yeah, but curators are the ones who build everything. They're the ones who design the museum and what goes into the display and all that kind of stuff.
Well, see, I think as a curator, the one who takes care of all the paperwork.
No, it's the one who designs it all. And I'm good at that kind of stuff, but that's not where my passion is. My passion is with you. It's talking. It's uplifting people. I would have never done what I wanted to do to give my gift to the world if only the aptitude test was my gear, was my guiding light. If I stayed there, I would be sitting in a dark room somewhere wondering why I let life go away, because it's not where I want it to be.
I'm trying to remember what mine said.
You took the ASVAB. You should know.
I took the ASVAB twice, but that's a whole other story.
The ASVAB is one of those aptitude tests of what you're good
for. That told me that, you know, it told me I could do anything I wanted. I mean, because I'm, you know, that general all around knowledge kind of a guy. So the ASVAB test basically told me I could do anything that I wanted. It told the military I could do anything.
And it basically told me I'm highly detailed.
I was also told one time I should be a preacher.
I can see that.
Not actually a father, but a preacher who somebody more or less is a teacher, a leader of teachers.
What do you think you're doing now?
For on that note, it is.
No, not yet. Oh. So detail. So I was told I was detail oriented. I watch other people's speeches and piecemeal them and reorganize them. It's detail, but it's not what a book had a description for. So therefore, it didn't tell me what I was or what I could do. I fell under other. So whatever you're good at, only you can tell yourself that. Only you can discover that. Use the people around you, because you got the power to find out what you really want. So, because again, we have reached our time and we're probably laying on the deck right now, sunbathing, because I know darn well I will. And the wind, I might try to get to the hull of the ship and do, I'm the king of the world. You know how they did it in Titanic.
No, so, you got to get on the bow of the ship.
The bow, that's at the front.
You got to get to the bow. And...
So whatever it is.
Don't do that until we're done, all right?
Okay, because they might kick us off.
No, I don't want any weird, you know, things happening too early.
So whatever it is that you want to do, put that dream on the, even if it is, I just want to be incredibly happy. Write a list of what makes you happy and then go from there, because you have the power to change your destiny to whatever you thought your destiny was. So my name is Michelle Moraz.
Take the power, be you, and you're the only one that can be you.
Oh, I'm so proud of you, Brian. Peace. Go be the best version of you, unapologetically.
Peace.